my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1125. In the Red Pew Bible, page 1125. One thing that we're going to see as we're talking today about angels is that each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in their account of the resurrection of Jesus, all of them record that angels were involved in that resurrection event. And so here we see in the account given by Luke of the resurrection of Jesus, and you'll notice the presence of angels here. So Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they, the women, went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. And so we have been focusing over the last 3 weeks, including today, on getting back to basics. With all the stuff going on in the world, it's a good time to go back to the basics and ask ourselves, what is it that God has called us to do as a church? And to know that, we go back and see what has God called the early church to do. It was also a time of tremendous turmoil, tremendous trials and tribulation. And so it's good for us to go back and ask ourselves again, what was the early church about, and in what way should we be about the very same things today? Now, in the course of that, we've been looking at Acts chapter 1, and I've identified that there are four themes in the Acts, and we see all four of these in the first 11 verses of this book, Acts chapter 1. First, that we are a waiting church. They were told to wait until Jesus would return again. Remember, it was the angels who told them, Jesus is going to come back again. And so we are waiting for that return. While we're waiting, we're going to be a witnessing church. Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to empower you to be my witnesses." The third theme is this: the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the witnessing that Jesus had called us to do. And fourthly, the importance of angels in the early church, and I believe also in the church today. And this fourth theme is what we're going to look at today, the importance of angels in our lives and our church. And as we heard in our reading, Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, when Jesus ascended into heaven, two men in white robes stood by the disciples and told them, "Jesus has come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And then we also heard in Luke chapter 24, at the resurrection, there were two men, quote, in dazzling apparel, and they told the women that Jesus had been raised from the dead. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 3, we're told that the angel's appearance, quote, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. In Mark 16, verse 5, he is described as a young man sitting on the right side of the tomb, dressed in a white robe. And finally, the fourth gospel, John 20, verse 12, Mary saw, quote, two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. So evidently, the angel's color is white. Did we get that? You know, people have different colors that look good in. For angels, it's white, snow white, dazzling white, like lightning. So if we see people dressed in white like that, we could think, well, maybe it's another angel. Now, it's worth noting that, in fact, all four Gospels record the presence of angels at the resurrection. What an important moment it was, and yet in the midst of that, somehow it was important that God involved the angels in that story of the resurrection. And so we want to understand that, because I believe this thing is important for us today. Angels, another word for angels is messengers, by the way. Actually, the Greek word angelos is what we get angel. Angels are mentioned in the Bible really over 300 times. Over 300 times, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And those are the good angels. If there's all angels who rebelled against God, and you look at things like Satan referenced all the demons, it's far more than that. But today we're going to talk about the good ones. And at least 300 references to angels, archangels, and in both the Old and the New Testament. So that's pretty important for a lot of references to angels. We're told that there are created beings who, like humans, were given free will. Angels were given free will. Some of those angels rebelled against God. They were led by Lucifer, by Satan. They rebelled against God. There's a war in heaven. We're told in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 9. Satan and his angels were fighting Michael and his angels. Michael and his angels won the battle and threw Satan's angels out of heaven and threw them here to earth, which is where they are to this day. So we see that there was a battle. There's a verse in Isaiah that kind of refers to, it depends on how we interpret it, but it could be interpreted that one third of the angels or stars were thrown down to earth. If that's interpreted to be referring to the angels, that would mean that one third of the angels rebelled against God. That sounds like a lot. But the good news is that two-thirds did not. So there's twice as many good angels as there are bad angels. I find that very reassuring. Two-thirds remained faithful, one-third did not. Again, if we interpret that according to Isaiah. Well, other places refer to information about angels, particularly Hebrews. That whole first chapter of Hebrews, by the way, very long chapter about how Jesus is above the angels and more important than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 reveals to us that angels are, quote, ministering spirits out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. They are ministering spirits. They administer, they help, they aid, they serve those who are to inherit salvation. That would be us. So angels are part of God's plan to help us, to put us, to watch over us, and to serve us, because we are the ones to inherit salvation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 reveals that angels can appear to us as strangers and don't even know it. It says to practice hospitality, because you never know if you're entertaining an angel and you're not aware of it. We entertain them unawares. I had an experience like this. Obviously, I had several experiences, encounters with angels. One powerful one was when I was in Jerusalem. I've been there four times. Thanks be to God. This was my first visit. And getting familiar with the old city of Jerusalem was quite an event. And one time I had some spare time in the afternoon. And I was determined to go back and evaluate the question, what's the correct location of Calvary? There's a church called the Church of the Sepulchre in the Old City, which is the traditional site of Calvary and the tomb where Jesus was raised. But there's another place known as the Garden Tomb, which is outside the city. And it's controversy between two about, well, which was the actual site of Golgotha and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, was it that garden tomb or was it the Church of the Sepulchre? And so I was determined to wrestle this and to look at it both. And so I went back into the old city, very narrow streets and people walking around and so forth. And so I got lost. I'm trying to find the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and I got lost. And so there, with my map app, and this woman comes up to me and she says, "Can I help you?" That in itself in that culture is very strange. Women just don't walk up and say, you know, "Can I help you?" And I said to her, "I'm looking for the Holy Sepulchre." I didn't say the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I said, "I'm looking for the Holy Sepulchre." She says, "I will show you." Turns around, starts walking. I start following her. She leads me against some of these streets and through all these people and finds this little square which is in front of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And she says to me, "Here it is." I'd recognize it because I'd been there once. I said, "Okay, thank you." And she turned and went off, and I started. And all of a sudden, something struck me. It's like I had an encounter. Have you had that feeling? And all of a sudden, whoa, something just happened here. You just had an encounter. So I turned around. Of course, people say, "Oh, somebody disappeared." Well, there were people around. It's easy for her to just disappear, but she did. She kind of walked into the crowd, and that was it. I was just overwhelmed. I thought, that was an angel. God sent that angel. I had a question. Where was the Holy Sepulchre? And he sent an angel who led me and said, "This is it." And so I thought, wow. I mean, that's amazing. It's amazing. I believe God sent an angel just to lead me through that. And I didn't know it at the time. But it was after, and I was just struck by that sense that, oh my goodness, I just had a spiritual encounter with a spiritual being. I still remember that to this day. Now in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus told the disciples not to despise the children. You remember sometimes they're saying, "I get the kids out of here. They're bothering us." And he says, no, don't do that. He said, "For I tell you, quote, for you that in heaven, angels all see the face of my Father." He says, "Don't despise the children. Because in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father." Now, this is where we get the idea of guardian angels. I absolutely believe in guardian angels. And you know how important it is for children to be raised with ark in the house? You know, if you had that, if you have kids, you know, you want to have artwork up around the house. So, you know, things like about Jesus, things about the cross. Well, this is a picture that I grew up with in my time. Evidently a fairly well-known painting of the guardian angel. But I grew up and I never really had the impact it had on me, except I always went through life believing that I had a guardian angel who was watching over me. I had one very powerful experience about the age of 10. We lived in New Jersey, South Jersey, so I tell people I'm from the South. South Jersey, and we'd live over rivers, like kind of like a parkway, and we weren't supposed to go play in the river, you know, God knows. So where were we? We were down by the river playing, and in the river there's train trestle that goes this section of the river. You have to go up an embankment, and then there's this very narrow train trestle. It's just only wide enough for the trains. You go across the train trestle, which is maybe 100 to 200 feet, and then you go down the other embankment and onto an island. So we went up, we're playing there, we shouldn't have been, we run over playing on the island. So I'm getting ready to run back over to the other side, so I run up the embankment, getting ready to cross over the trestle, go back onto the other side. At the moment I get up to the top of the embankment, just to step onto the trestle, a hand pushed me back. It felt a big hand pushed me back, and I remember coming back. Right then, a train went by. Right then, a train went by. I didn't hear it. I couldn't see it because of the bushes. Right then, it went by. If I had just stepped onto that trestle, as narrow as it was, I would have been torn to pieces by this fast-moving train because they couldn't see anybody. It felt like a hand pushed me back. And again, it's one of those, that wasn't an accident. Somebody just did something. I grew up believing there were guardian angels that were watching over me and protecting me. And I still believe it to this day. Angels are very important. And I think they're important to us today. Another thing I want to mention is that angels have names. I think this is very interesting. And in the Bible, told about both Michael and Gabriel. We're told Michael and Daniel. Michael was the kind of the protector of Israel, of God's people. Gabriel, we know the messenger angel. He's the one that appeared to Mary and told Mary, "You will be with child, and his name will be called Jesus." Michael and Gabriel are mentioned about 10 times in the scriptures. Now, another bit of writing, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, we believe was written about 400 BC. And then, of course, you've got the beginning with the birth of Jesus. There's about 400 years there, gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You say, well, nothing was going on there. Well, there were writings that were done. It was called the Apocrypha. These apocryphal writings, there's, depending on what you think, a dozen of them, maybe 15. In the Roman Catholic Church, it's believed these apocryphal writings are part of Scripture. In the Protestant Church, we do not believe that. We believe they are inspired, not of the same level of inspiration as the Old and the New Testament. But these are writings that were in that 400 period of time. So this is an important part of the Hebrew tradition. In the Apocrypha, it's the book of Enoch, a great book. If you've never read the book of Enoch, it's just great reading. In Enoch 20, it gives the name of seven archangels. Now, there's a hierarchy, evidently, angels. Michael, we're told, is an archangel. There's archangels, principalities, powers, dominions, and authorities. So there's kind of class angels, different strengths, different power for them. Seven archangels mentioned in Enoch. Michael, you know about Michael. Raphael, right? You know about a lot of art about Raphael. Gabriel, Uriel, Sarquel, Agul, and the seventh one, Lucifer. Lucifer was one of the seven, according to Enoch, one of the seven archangels in heaven. And we're told in the Old Testament, he was so beautiful, the most beautiful angels of all, but he had to overtaken by pride. And so he wanted to be God, and he ended up rebelling against God and still rebels to this day. I believe that our guardian angels also have names. And this is not in the Bible, but it's not against the Bible. But I have often thought, I wonder if my guardian angel has a name. So I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, does my guardian angel have a name? And the name that came to me was Michael. Michael. Now, I don't think it's the Michael, the archangel. I think there's lower angels. I've got the lower ones. But I still think, I just came to me, my name, guardian angel's name is Michael. I just offer that to you. To me, it's just kind of neat to think, not only a guardian angel, but that guardian angel has a name. And so I would encourage you, if you think, go to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, does my guard have a name? I've heard other people say, yes, they do believe that God reveals them. What is the name of your guardian angel? I think that's kind of neat. I also think that today we will see our guardian angels when we get to heaven. And it's interesting to think about Frank Reddy's books about this presence in darkness. He talked about how angels are empowered by the prayers of the people, and they fight these spiritual battles on our behalf. And I have a sense that when I get to heaven, I'm going to see my guardian angel, and he's going to be all beat up, and he's got some sling and broken bones, and he's going to be like, oh, man, you made me go through such tough stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. So I hope our angels will be in good shape. When we get there and see the guardian angels, that they'll be in good shape. Because some of them may be all, 90 pounds weak. You never prayed me up. So one day, watch out for that. I believe we get to heaven. We'll see our guardian angels. And in my case, I'm going to give them thanks for the times they have saved me. Now, we want to be very clear. Angels are not to be worshipped. We do not worship angels. There's times in Scripture there was a fall down and worship angels, and they said, no, don't do that, you only worship God. So we do not worship angels. We do not pray to angels. We pray to God. We say, Lord, please send your angels to help me, or Lord, please, help this, whatever, and he's going to send an angel. So we don't worship them, we don't pray to them. We pray to God. It just so happens that God at least sometimes uses his angels in order to answer our prayers. Now, something else I thought was interesting, I came upon Galatians chapter 4, verse 14, where Paul, writing about the Galatians, the Galatians received me as an angel. Galatians, the church received Paul as though he were an angel, or as an angel, and that could also be just messenger. But it struck me that we could be like angels to people who are around us. And I've had people in this church, somebody says, oh, do you know what so-and-so did for me? They came over, and I'll say, yeah, you know, I think that person's an angel. And I'll say, I believe it too. Yeah, that person is an angel. God sent that person to help me because God knew I needed it. So I believe we can be like angels in that we can be the answer to someone's prayer. What a wonderful blessing that is. In his book, Angels, Billy wrote a book called Angels, about angels. He shares there's a number of stories about missionaries and others who were protecting angels. Also stories, and I've heard a number about these missionaries who were in Africa or somewhere, and there were some natives gathered around the camp, and they were going to come in, they were going to kill the missionaries. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And then later on, one particular story, the native ended up coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and they asked them, I said, remember that night, you know, not long ago or whatever, and you know, we were coming after us. What happened? And the native said then, well, yeah, we were going to come get you. We were going to kill you. He said, but you had all those big men around you, around your camp. Well, the missionaries couldn't see them, but people who were attacking them did. And since they didn't attack because they saw all these big... other story I read about, too, and it's a true story about a woman who was walking down the street, and dark, kind of dangerous, and later on found out that right where she was walking, side attacked another person. Somehow she got involved in the discussion with this person for who was a witness or something. She asked him, you know, I just walked past that. How come you didn't attack me? And the guy said, because you had those two big guys on either side of you. She thought she was by herself. But he didn't attack her because these supposedly two big guys, angels, were walking alongside of her. I believe it. The missionaries couldn't see them, but the people who were threatening them could. Now, as we work our way through the Acts of the Apostles, we're going to see how important angels were in the early church. These are our helpers, our messengers, our guides, and our protectors. In fact, we've probably encountered angels and didn't even know it. Another story I would share with you, Debbie, where we're living in Staten, New York. This was years ago. Debbie was driving down the highway, and all of a sudden her car just stopped. Thankfully, she was in an exit. She was able to kind of drift off the exit and pulled over to the side. Turned out to be kind of a not so good neighborhood there. And here's, you know, the car stopped. She's by herself. It was, I think, maybe even dark. And no cell phones. And then up behind her, a guy in a delivery truck. He pulled beside her, and he got out and said, okay, yeah, okay. He said, this is not a good neighborhood. He says, I'm going to stay here. Just stay here until the police come for help. He went back to his truck, and he stood there and just waited. Maybe, a half hour, maybe even more. This guy's got a job to do, but he's back there sitting, waiting, just because Debbie's in an area that could be unsafe. And she said, eventually, the police car came, and they were able to call AAA, and everything was fine. But here's this person. Now, when he told me that, again, I had this guy saying, yeah, that was one of my angels. I sent my angels to protect Debbie because it was a bad neighborhood. I believe it. I believe it. Many of us have had an experience like that. We look back and think, I think that was an angel. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Quickly? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Their prayers and just encourage them. And he gave me Psalm 3:3, share with you.
Oh,
and
praise God.
Just says that he is your glory, he is your God, and he He is the lifter of us. And every prayer you make, He's heard. And especially you.
Wow.
Man of
God. Wow.
Thank you, He says.
Oh,
thank you
for
preaching the word. You are on the center track, He said, to tell you.
Wow.
And again, that He is your glory and the lifter up of your head. And you all have been, I don't say you all, well, yes.
Wow. Thank you for that message. That we receive it. Thank you. Thank you. Receive that. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So what is the application of this teaching? Application in our lives. I would say three things. One is to be thankful. Be thankful that God sends these messengers to watch over us. I'm becoming more humbled in my drinking habits. Kind of embarrassed to say, but I just get behind somebody that's going slow, and it just galls me to death. It's like you're going for 5 miles an hour below, that would be okay. But if they're 10 or 15 miles below the speed limit, it just... And yet, I believe, and I say to myself now, I say, oh, God sent that angel to stop me from going too fast because there's an accident waiting up there. This same angel is going to slow me down, so I'm not going to get in the accident. So it helps me at least be more patient. But I believe it's to be thankful when these things happen and to be expectant, to be open to it. To be open to God's going to send angels, and we may not recognize them as angels. They may be other people, and they can offer us help. I know there's some of us have trouble accepting help, don't we? We have trouble accepting help. Again, it's the old, you know, the classic thing about the guys in the flood. And, he's in his house, and his house is flooding, and someone in a boat comes by and says, oh, come on, my God's going to save me. Later on, the water is up to the second floor. Here comes another boat. Come on, get in. No, God's going to save me. Finally gets to the roof. The flood's rising. Here's a helicopter. Come on, get on board. No, God's going to save me. He gets washed away in the flood. He dies. He gets up to heaven. He's kind of upset with God. He says, God, I've devoted my whole life to you. I asked you to save me this once, and you didn't. And God says, I don't know what you're complaining about. I sent two boats and a helicopter. This seems to be one of the things God does. He works through people. He works through angels. Does he work directly? Absolutely. We can't say God always does one or the other. But be open to the fact that God is going to send an angel, and we may not recognize it as such. So be thankful, be open, be ready. God has used angels in the early church. I believe God is using angels today because it's a time now that people need the help of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I find it very comforting to know that we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us, yes. But God also sends His angels. They're all around us. And so for that, we're thankful. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is within us. It is here. And because of the Holy Spirit, because of the angels, the best is truly to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for angels. We thank you for sending these messengers to guide us, to protect us, to comfort us. Help us, Lord, to be open to angels. Help us to be expectant of angels. And help to be thankful. And help us, Lord, to be ready to be an angel, a messenger, to be the someone else's prayer, as you would call it us to be. In all these things, Lord, we give thanks to He who has made possible, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.